Support for the Capital Connection comes from
United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm David Gustina. Joining us this week is Ed Cox, chair of the New York State Republican Party, and of course, previously served 10 years as party chair from 2009 to 2019. Always appreciate it when he spends time with us. Welcome back to the Capital Connection, Ed Cox.
It's good to be with you, David. This is an inaugural show for you and me, and I look forward to many more going forward.
Appreciate that so very much. And let's start with the issue of redistricting. I know this is a big one on your list, and Republicans have been talking about this. The idea that the process in Republicans' minds and in many observers' minds is rigged, in your case, in the Democrats' favor. How so?
Well, look, this is huge. The Democrats have a majority in both houses of legislature and they have the governor. They can pass whatever they want with respect to redistricting, of course, after the commission does what it does. And last time around, they, and this is according to the Brennan Center, which is no conservative bastion, obviously, and the Brennan Center said that what they did, they would have packed all the Republican voters into four districts, and that's it. That's all we would have. We had a huge political legal fight. We had to defeat charter amendments. We had to get the commission funded. We had to fight to get our witnesses in front of the commission. The commission finally failed. They did their gerrymandering. We went in. This is a three-year fight. And we went into court in Steuben County, went right up to the highest court in the state, the Court of Appeals, and we won because we were on the right side. We were for, and a special master redrew the districts. They were competitive districts. We were able to compete. Lee Zeldin ran a great campaign where those competitive districts were on Long Island and then the Hudson Valley. And out of the nine competitive districts, we won eight. And for 11 seats, as opposed to the four in which they would have gerrymandered. And that's the difference in the House of Representatives. Now they're coming back. And they got the chief judge, DeFiore, who wrote our opinion. They got her fired. They picked on some ethical stuff, and she's okay. I'm not going to go through that. And she resigned, the chief judge. And then they informed the governor, you're not going to get the nomination. We're going to tell you who you will nominate. And they turned down, just to prove it, they turned down just with a commission, a judiciary commission vote. I mean, it couldn't be worse. Talk about no following of the separation of powers doctrine that's so important to our democracy. They tell the governor, in essence, here's who you're going to, and she did. She nominated a dissenter, associate judge from our decision, and that is now the chief judge, Rowan Wilson. And then they got this bogus case that was filed, rejected by a Democrat-elected trial judge, and at the appellate division of the Court of Appeals, they got it reversed, and now it's going up to the Court of Appeals again. And we'll see what the Court of Appeals, but they are trying to re-gerrymander these districts rather than just compete. And look, they're in a better situation coming up to the presidential year 2024. They could, they at the top of the ticket is not, it's not Lee Zeldin. At the top of the ticket, there will be our presidential candidates, and this is a blue state. A lot of Democrats will show up to vote for the Democratic candidate, and they'll go right down ballot. So we're going to have to compete hard just to hold on to the district. But they want to cheat rather than compete. They want to fix the highest court. They want to have this bogus case coming up, and they expect the highest court to, in fact, reverse, permit the legislature, their supermajorities, to gerrymander the way they want. Not just for congressional districts, so that Hakeem Jeffries becomes a speaker rather than Kevin McCarthy, but they also will end up gerrymandering the Senate so that they have their supermajority in the Senate forever, as long as they want to do it, which is not good for New York politics. That's shutting the Republican Party out completely. So we're going to fight this. We're fighting it hard. We're going to win it for the sake of democracy in New York State.
Well, and let's say we stipulate everything you just said, Ed, and we just look at redistricting in and of itself, the idea of the gerrymander. It's not a very democratic process. And I think if you go back, whichever party, not even just in New York State, ends up in power, that often becomes part of how they maintain their majority. So it really has a problem when it comes to being a democratic process, doesn't it?
It destroys the democratic process. I mean, the gerrymander that they did, that we challenged and we won, it would have made Elbridge Gerry blush. the district for Nicole Malliotakis, the Nadler district started up in Harlem, went all the way down to southern Brooklyn, then took a big detour around the very liberal Park Slope, and then went back down so it could pick up some people for Nadler in Brooklyn. And that Park Slope district then became part of the Republican Nicole Malliotakis' district. So it became a very Democratic district. It was the it was just the epitome of an unconstitutional gerrymander. And they paid a price for it. The Court of Appeals took a look at it and said, this is ridiculous, and tossed it out, as did the trial court, as did the appellate division. And they gave us a special master who actually drew a very good line. We got to compete now. And competition is good, because then the decision is made in the general election, not in the primaries, where a small bunch of voters can make a huge difference. So on the Democratic side, it has pushed the Democratic Party, small group of voters, the socialists of the Democratic Party. They, in fact, control a lot of those primaries for our Democratic, the legislators of the Democratic Party. So the tail of the Democratic Party dog, that is the socialists of the Democratic Party, actually control the legislature. And that legislature, their supermajorities, control what laws get passed. And that's why we have our problem with the criminal laws here in New York State. We have the problems with taxes in New York State. We have problems with regulations in New York State. And in the last 2 years, 500,000 of our most productive citizens have fled New York for other healthier, economic, and crime-free areas. Florida, Tennessee, Texas. That's not good for New York. And that's why we need to have fair districts and real competition. We just want to compete. They want to cheat.
There's so many things I want to ask you. Ed Cox, the chair of the New York State Republican Party, but you keep mentioning it, that Democrats have an overwhelming power in New York with the governor, the Senate Majority Leader, the Assembly Speaker. And, you know, you have as the role as head of the party to make gains for your party. How do you do that in such a blue state, at least as it seems now in the legislature itself?
Well, we did that last November in picking up a record 11 seats in the House of Representatives. Huge. Makes a difference in Washington. And we also picked up 2 state Senate seats. We only need one more, but we'll get more than one more to break their supermajority. And we picked up 5 seats in the Assembly, and we only need 3 more seats there to break the supermajority in the Assembly, so here in New York State. So we're moving. We got a tough election coming up because it's a presidential year, but that's why we moved our whole ad hoc team. It wasn't an ad hoc team. It was not the party per se. It was a broad-based team of Republican-affiliated groups and people. And that's why we won. And that team has now moved in to run the state party, to defend our seats in the House of Representatives, and to pick up more seats in the legislature.
Is the Senate your best opportunity?
A Senate? No, the Assembly, too. I mean, we've got an Assembly race going on now in Brooklyn, a special election. We've got the better candidate. We've got the better tools to help that candidate win. And I think we can pick up a seat in the special election that's coming up on September 12th.
Can you get a majority in either house?
Sure, absolutely. Come the next general elections for the Assembly are in November of 2024, and we're already getting ready for that.
All right. One of the major issues, obviously, that the party has been constantly reminding people about is bail reform. And part of your vision in the party is safer streets. You say the far left is about revolving door justice and letting criminals back on the street. Now, is that true? Do you really believe that's what Democrats want? Isn't bail reform mostly about not keeping people behind bars who can't afford bail?
Well, we are the only state in the United States that does not permit the judge. judge in this kind of an arraignment and making a decision whether to keep a person behind bars pending their trial to go free, the judge cannot make his decision on the basis, or her decision, on the basis of dangerousness. Think of it. The judge can't think, gee, is this person dangerous or not? That's forbidden in New York State only. That's the problem. And that has to be changed, and that has not been changed. But it goes beyond just bail reform. They also changed the discovery laws. Now, this is technical stuff, but I'm a lawyer, and not that I practice criminal law, but I know what discovery means. You have to, the assistant district attorneys, they're trying a case, they have to disclose witnesses right away to the other side. Well, if this guy, the person who is charged, is a dangerous individual, they could knock off a witness. They could intimidate that witness if you disclose them too early. Anything that is related to the case, not relevant to the case, but related to it, has to be disclosed. And you make one little mistake, case dismissed. And assistant DAs, because they can't make their case, they're going into private practice, the best of them. They're not sticking around. That's not good. And then as far as the district attorneys themselves, the Morgenthals and the other, these great DAs that we had here in Manhattan, certainly, they are gone. They are replaced by people who are backed by Soros, a lot of money in an election where there's not a big turnout, and you end up with the DAs who are more political than they are DAs who just are trying to enforce the laws. There's one, actually, who was backed by Soros a long time ago, in a surprise with all the money that Soros puts behind this guy named Soros, who is the DA in Albany, African-American, has finally changed. He said the way the criminal laws are going in New York State, the way bail reform, discovery laws, et cetera, my neighborhood where I live is getting much more dangerous. We have to do something about it. He wanted to testify before a committee in the legislature, and they shut him out.
Ed, I talked to him. I had him on the show last week about it, and that's where I was going next.
Yes.
You do have some Democratic allies here. He's one of your biggest allies, and he talks just about discretion, dangerousness, discovery. He also said the former law, if you got in trouble, let's say you had a drug problem or something that happened, you could get services. But the way the new law was written, that isn't happening, and people are being put right back out on the street. That's from David Soros, Democrat.
And Soros, and he was elected by Soros money a long time ago. But he's saying, look, my job here is enforce the laws, and I cannot do it with these so-called reforms of the criminal laws and the discovery laws. So the fact that he's doing it, and congratulations for having him on your show, that is a voice that needs to be heard about our criminal laws and what has happened and why we've got a problem with crime here. And that is one of the reasons why there's an exodus of the productive citizens here from New York State.
Ed Cox, let's keep going with this, because one of the things that I also talked with David Soros of, again, the Albany County District Attorney, at one point was the head of the District Attorneys Association, was the violence that's happening in these communities, including Albany, obviously New York City and the larger cities, and even some smaller communities with gun violence. So, you know, he's really worried about the guns on the street. Now I have to address you as the head of the Republican Party. He clearly wants more gun control. Obviously, he's worried. He knows that the federal government has a huge role in this, and yet we're seeing all kinds of guns now, illegal guns and ghost guns, on the streets.
This issue has been around for a long, long time. And long ago, 50 years ago, President Nixon, who confronted this issue, supported a law to make sure what they call the midnight specials. These are the little handguns but that these criminals in the inner city can carry around in their pockets and kill their rivals in the drug gang wars, et cetera. But back then they were called the midnight specials, because that's when these people went at each other and shot innocent civilians in the inner cities in the process of their wars among themselves. And a Republican president was all for that. And I think still getting those kinds of handguns off the streets and out of the hands of criminals is important. We've had very strong gun laws here in New York State, perhaps the strongest in the United States. It's a question of enforcing them. You need DAs who want to enforce them. You need a populace that encourages the cops to make sure that they get off the street, that you can have and what was stop and frisk and find out this guy's got a gun. and make sure that you arrest that guy and get the gun and that guy off the streets.
We're speaking with Ed Cox. He's the chair of the New York State Republican Party. And one of the other major issues that we're seeing here in New York is migrant asylum seekers that have been sent to New York City, a safe city.
It's a sanctuary city. That means you're not going to turn the individual over to the feds because they're an illegal. You're going to protect them by not disclosing them. The real problem in New York here that is confronted by the mayor here in New York City and in our other inner cities. It just applies to New York City. It is the right to shelter. And this was a former mayor, Ed Koch, settled a litigation with the Legal Aid Society, I think it was, and agreed that there is a right to shelter for homeless people in New York City. And the problem is that with all these migrants coming in, they've got a right to shelter under this settlement of 40 years ago. And it has not been changed. It should be changed, but it has not been changed. And so here we have about 1-2% of all the illegal migrants who have crossed the southern border. 1-2% have come up here. And you're talking about billions of dollars to give them the shelter that they have a right to under that cell. And that doesn't mean you can't give them some kind of shelter, but there are provisions about what the shelter has to be. And it's very expensive here. But just think of the other 99% of the illegal migrants all around this country and the pain and problems that we are feeling in New York State with these migrants. It's being felt all over the country. You've got to close down the borders. If you don't count them, you don't have a border. You don't have a country that is secure if people can cross the border freely. And there have just been photos of the drug dealers with body armor and automatic weapons crossing the border freely coming into this country. And the amount of gang violence, I'm sure, is going to escalate. You've got a Secretary of Homeland Security who is not making the homeland secure. He just says, blank face, in full congressional committee, he said, yeah, the border's secure. It is not secure. But he just says that, and the President Biden backs him up. For some reason, Biden does not want to secure our borders. He has made it clear. It's open border. Anyone who wants to come here can come here through our southern border. Look, even these migrants, the numbers, what happens to them on their way here is unspeakable. And they
let me just ask you, Ed, because when it comes to those that are here already, you know, and we've at WAMC gone down, we've spoken to these migrants. We have a little sense of who some of these people are and why they're here. And many of them have children that they've brought with them. You know, what about calls? I've heard it from both the Republican and the Democratic side to open up job opportunities. Many of them want jobs, and there are plenty of jobs that many won't do that we should, including, by the way, I heard this morning a call for farm jobs.
Look, because our present laws say you have to wait 150 days if you're an asylum seeker before you can do work. That doesn't make sense. Particularly in our present situation, where there is a need for the kinds of jobs that these migrants could do. It's not a question of pushing Americans out of jobs. There is a need for it. But what the bottom line is, we need good immigration reform that works.
Better organization, don't we? I mean, I'm hearing now from, again, both sides of the political aisle that DocGo, for example, down in New York, has handled this miserably. They know some of them don't. People show up, the papers aren't clear. You can't have a system like that and expect political officials and communities to wrap their arms around the situation.
Well, that's true. Look, you cannot have good reform of our immigration laws and work laws and that make sense, that don't hurt American workers, but supplement American workers. You can't have that while the real issue is we have got an open border and people are, how do we handle the people who are pouring across that border? And by the way, it's not just all asylum seekers. It is drug dealers. It is people who are not that nice. Let me put it that way. They are also crossing the border, coming in here, and they're not going to. they are a danger to our system. We need to have proper screens and make sure that the people who come here, as we did in Ellis Island in the old days, people were checked for diseases that we don't have here that could become endemic here and things like that. That's what was done back then, and we need to do that again and make sure that people who come to this country are people who should be here.
Now, one of the things that we're noticing, I'm sure you're seeing what's happening today as we speak in Maui, where people have been jumping into the ocean because of these wildfires, the smoke from Canada, the floods in New York and New England. Everywhere around the world, we're hearing every day of another climate catastrophe. And one of the things that's on your docket in the Republican Party in New York State is more jobs. Let me frame it this way. You're going to need people to deal with all this, not only the mitigation efforts, but the cleanup efforts and everything else. Isn't there an opportunity here to work together to help mitigate climate change and maybe save the planet in the process?
No. I mean, what the laws here in New York are going to, unfortunately, they are set in motion in a way that's going to have a minimal impact. It makes everyone in New York feel good. Oh, my gosh, look what we're doing with all these windmills, with all the solar systems. We're shutting down gas stoves so you can't have gas stoves in new buildings and shutting down gas pipelines and things. Meanwhile, China is building more than 200 coal plants a day that are making it cheaper for them to do things that we could do here in the United States. We got to deal with this on a national level and not have New York try and save the world. Because in trying to save the world, New York is only going to lose some of its best systems who said, this is ridiculous. My utility bill's too high. I can't have a gas stove. I can't live the way I want to here. So I'm going to go to another state. What we need is to, for example, have an environmental tax on the goods that are produced, let's say, in China, because they don't have the same concern about the environment that we have. Same with India and same with other countries. We got to make sure that in fact, they are encouraged because they are the people who are building new pollutants of not just with respect to carbon dioxide, but with respect to other noxious, because they're not good for their people. They need to implement good environmental laws. New York State cannot save the world with respect to climate issues. That doesn't mean we shouldn't, do our best here, but within the bounds of making sure that it doesn't do harm to jobs and workers here in New York State.
Final question, Ed, and you probably know it's coming. Donald Trump has been indicted 3 times now. You've got the hush money case, the classified documents case, now the election interference case. We hear Georgia may be next. You know, you've worked and helped raise money for him in the past. I know you said you're not going to make any announcement about endorsements until after the primaries. Do you have any response to these growing cases here?
I have responded, and as a lawyer, I look at each one, and they are terribly flawed. Biden made it clear, and he knew how to do it. He didn't call the attorney general direct and say, hey, I want you to indict, but he let his staff know, and they let other people know, let the attorney general know, and they appointed this guy, Jack Smith, Jack Smith has a reputation. He's just one of these guys who's going to get his target. You tell him who the target is, and he will arrange the laws and go after that target and make sure that that target is convicted. He did this with a Republican governor, Governor McDonald, and he convicted on some very spurious grounds. It went up to the Supreme Court, and the unanimous Supreme Court rejected the grounds on which he got his. But in the meanwhile, this is a guy who's a special counsel now, who's going after President Trump on the records issues and the January 6th issues. I'm just a lawyer, but I do have some knowledge of this because President Nixon was involved in it way back when. These are presidential records, for example. There is a thing called the Presidential Records Act. That is, in fact, the controlling statute here. And Jack Smith doesn't even mention it in his indictment. And there's a reason for his not mentioning it, because it is the controlling document. And that controlling document does not have any criminal provisions. And it does say that the former president shall have available to him all his presidential records. So if you take a look at it through that lens, not the so-called Espionage Act, you know, you say, we're indicting him under the Espionage Act. No, that's not the applicable law. The applicable law for a long time has been the Presidential Records Act, and it should be worked out in a civil way. Rather than that, the Biden administration, through the archives, sicked the FBI in that huge raid on Mar-a-Lago on President Trump. And that made it all a criminal thing, as opposed to what the controlling statute, the Presidential Records Act, which should apply to these presidential records. And the same thing goes for the other claims by Bragg and the January 6th claims. Of course, the prosecutor, always by leaking stuff out, is playing this in the press, and the press laps it up, particularly the national press laps it up and repeats it. But when we come down to it, I think you're going to end up with the Jack Smith case overruled on appeal. And I go back to my original premise. This is the administration going after the leading opponent of the opposition Republicans, Donald Trump. And when you do that, unless we're going to look like a banana republic that's using the criminal laws for political purposes, you better have a damn good case. And these are not good cases.
He is Ed Cox, head of the state Republican Party in New York. Well, if Georgia indicts Trump, I'll ask you next time, Ed, about the perfect phone call. Thank you so much for joining
my pleasure,
us.
David. Good luck to you. Congratulations on replacing the legendary Mr. Shartok.
Legendary is right. Thanks, Ed.
Thank you.
The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. You can listen to The Capital Connection anytime at wamcpodcast.org or anywhere you get your podcast. And join us again next week at this same time for another political conversation. For The Capital Connection, I'm David Giustina.